man, the supremely confident woman, the boastful bluffer, the sly schemer, each is vulnerable. Each has some weakness, some chink in his armor, some little flaw that we call the blind spot.
The plate glass window.
Very funny. Come on, bright boy, do something.
Okay. Give us a hammer and chisel.
Hammer and chisel coming up.
It's all yours, boy.
Right. Here we go, Dougie. Noisy way of doing it for a bloke on the wrong side of the law, but us, we're strictly legit.
Oh, sure.
There we are, Doug. Entrance effective. Look the place over before we get the equipment out of the truck.
Yeah. Dingy sort of place.
Oh, it'll look better when the new tenants come in and clean it up. Oh, plus the advantages of electrical illumination.
This passage leads to the front of the shop.
Yeah. Hey, hold it a sec, will you? Hey,
what's the trouble?
Something lying on the floor. You got a match?
Sure. Holy mackerel. A girl.
Is she dead?
I don't know. Certainly looks like it.
Yes, Superintendent. It's all in now. Pardon? Oh, the girl's name was Doreen Huskins, age about 20. The divisional surgeon, after his first examination of the body, says that death took place about 12 hours before the body was found. What's that? Oh, yes, the forensic boys will be carrying out a full post-mortem this afternoon. Oh, yes, I agree. It's a most peculiar story. But I've got the two men from the electrical firm outside now, Norman and Morrison. Well, I'll get them in separately and go over it again. Oh, yes, sir, I'll let you know. Sergeant. Have Mr. Norman come in.
Right, sir. All right, Mr. Norman. In here, please.
Right, sir.
Sit down, Norman. Dick Norman, isn't it?
That's right, Inspector. Oh, what comes after the official title?
Yes, I'm Inspector Lamb.
Yeah, I like to know the names of people I'm dealing with. Creates the right impression, sense of intimacy right off. I got that out of a course on business psychology.
Is that so? Well, we'll get back to that later. In the meantime, suppose you tell me, why did you and Morrison have to force an entrance into that shop?
Oh, the firm sent us here on a job. We had to renew the electrical wiring. All perished, you know. Well, the agents figured it was necessary before they could let it again.
Hey, didn't they give you keys to get in?
Oh, Inspector, I've been through this before.
And now you're going to have to go through it again.
Well, they gave me the keys on Tuesday when I was sent down my own to remove the old fittings and make a report. When I went there with Doug Morrison to put the new lot in, it was Friday. No keys available.
Why not?
Ah, funny lot of agents. Only had one set of keys.
The keys they gave you on Tuesday. What happened to them?
You know, soon I'll be repeating this little old story in my sleep. I'll send a wife crackers.
When you start sending me crackers, I'll let you know. Answer the question.
Well, Tuesday, I'm working in the front part of the shop. Chap comes along, taps on the window, points to the door, and I let him in. Got the keys, he says. Yes, thanks, I says. Well, give them to me, he says. My aunt produces a piece of paper torn out of an order pad. I order from the agent to hand over the keys. He's a prospective tenant, wants to look the place over. Well, he needs the keys to look in the other rooms, which are locked. I give them to him. Lighting won't suit for the business I'm opening, he says. Well, give me the job of chasing it, I say. All right, he says. We'll talk about it. Meet me tonight at 9 o'clock... corner Shaftesbury Avenue and Piccadilly Circus. Right, I says. Oh, what about the keys? Well, he says he'll drop them into the agents and off he goes.
You met him at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I met him. He agreed to give me the job. Said we'd go back, look the place over, so he could tell me what he wanted. Then he finds he hasn't got the keys. Says he's left them in his car.
I thought he was going to drop them into the agents.
Yeah, well, he said he'd told them what he was going to do, so they told him to hang on to them.
I see. Go on. What next?
Well, nothing next. He don't come back. Oh, I wait till 9:30, then I give it away. Take the train home, arrive about 11, have a cup of cocoa with the wife, and so to bed. End of Tuesday.
Hey, what do the agents say about your friend, the prospective tenant?
Oh, they've never heard of him. He's a phony. All he wanted was the keys.
Pretty old trick. Can you describe this man?
Oh, about 40 years old. A little less, maybe. Good 6 feet in height. Could be 6 foot one. Ginger moustache. Or gold fillings in his two front teeth. Lean, well-built. Ruddy complexion. Grey single-breasted suit. Green hat. Oh, well, a little favorite. Anything else, Inspector?
No, not now, Mr. Norman. I think you've done enough for the moment.
Well, if you want me, you got my address and telephone number?
Yes, we'll get in touch, Mr. Norman, if we want you.
I think we might take in a picture tonight, Molly, old girl.
Oh, I'd like that, Dickie. There's ever such a nice one on at the Odeon. Singing and dancing and full of technicolour.
Oh, it sounds gruesome. I'd rather go to the Regal. They got a crime show. Good, juicy murder.
Murder? Oh, I should have thought you'd had enough of that. After what's happened.
Oh, not me. They're what I like to see. You know, maybe I can pick up a point or two and help the coppers out trying to find that chap that polished off that girl.
You be careful, Dickie.
Hello? Oh, hello, Inspector. What can I do for you? You have? Well, that's a bit of good news. Oh, no, no, no trouble at all. Be glad to oblige. It will take me an hour or so to get up there. Yes, I'll leave right away. See you, Inspector.
Who was that? The police again?
Yes, old girl, Inspector Lamb in person. Oh, sorry, the pictures are all for tonight.
Why? What's happened?
They need me for a little job of identification. They, got the bloke that disappeared with the keys.
Ooh. Well, you be careful what you say, Dickie. You never can tell what you're getting mixed up in.
Oh, watch it, ducks.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe?
Uh-huh.
Do you think we can afford a vacation this year?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. The car could stand some work. Then there's that chair we've been meaning to buy, and I guess we could always cash in a savings bond or two.
What?
I said we could cash in one of our bonds.
Joseph, don't you dare.
Oh, I was just suggesting.
Don't even think about it. Those bonds are our future. When they mature, we'll get back $4 for every three.
Yeah, I know that.
They're guaranteed, too. Three times over. Principal, interest, and replacement if lost or stolen. Well, the whole United States stands behind them.
Sure, Daphne,
but... Well, if we cash them in before they mature, we'll be giving up all that lovely interest. And what happens when we really need the money?
Daphne.
I don't see how you, who thought of buying a bond every payday in the first place, could suggest such a thing.
I guess maybe it was a moment of weakness.
Well, don't you ever bring it up again. Savings bonds are not only a good investment for us, but they help our country, too. Shame on you, Joe.
I'm ashamed. I'm covered with humiliation. I hate myself.
I should think so.
Okay, if I go back to reading my paper now?
Uh-huh. But, Joe, I was just wondering.
Yeah?
Do you really think we can afford a vacation this year?
Glad he can make it, Mr. Norman. I've got him in the next room.
Uh-huh. Oh, how'd you pick him up?
Circulated the description you gave us. Today we got a report of a man picked up on a fraud charge answering that description.
They always make a mistake, don't they? Now we'll have something more serious than a fraud charge to answer. Hey, Inspector?
Perhaps. First you have to identify him, though.
Lead me to him.
This way. Mr. Norman, have you ever seen this man before?
Yeah, of course I have. How are you, mate?
I don't know you.
Oh, you're having trouble with your memory, are you?
Not that I've noticed.
Oh, well, you must have. You're the chap come to the shop on Greek Street Tuesday last. I gave you the keys and met you Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, corner Shaftesbury Avenue.
I'm sorry, you're mistaken. I wasn't anywhere near Greek Street on Tuesday. Shaftesbury Avenue either.
Oh, I don't blame you, mate. I'd say the same if I was you.
Inspector, I've never seen this man before. I wasn't there. I don't know what he's talking about.
Just like that, eh?
Look, mate, what about giving us the name of your dentist? It's a lovely job he's done with those fillings. Oh, lovely girl fillings. Don't you reckon, Inspector?
I wasn't there, I tell you. I've never seen this fella before in all my life.
Very interesting. What's that, sir? I'm afraid so, Superintendent. Reynolds' alibi stands up. Yes, Norman didn't have any hesitation about identifying him as the man who took the keys from him. But we've checked out Reynolds' alibi and it's watertight. So that seems to put him in the clear. Oh, yes, I realize that. Even if Reynolds didn't have anything to do with the girl's murder, there still could be a man with two gold inlaid teeth who took the keys from Norman. I'm not dismissing his story. And meanwhile, there's my VIP visitor waiting to see me, sir. Well, this could be very tricky. Oh, don't worry, sir. Don't worry. I'll be diplomacy personified. Yes, I'll be in touch. Sergeant, ask Mr. Collins to come in.
Right, sir. In here, please, Mr. Collins.
Diplomacy, the full treatment. Good evening, Mr. Collins. Won't you sit down, sir?
Thank you, Inspector.
You've something to tell us, sir, about the death of Doreen Hoskins.
Yes, it's been on my mind for days. From the moment I read about her death in the press and saw her picture.
Yes, sir.
You see, I knew her.
Oh.
It must seem strange that a man like myself should know that kind of girl. But it happens, Inspector. Men like myself, public figures, people think of us, no doubt, as having all of society to choose from when it comes to friends, but there are disadvantages, Inspector, about living in the spotlight.
Yes, I can imagine that, sir.
In my own case, it's not generally known, but my marriage is an unhappy one. A loveless marriage. It's not a joyous thing to live with.
No, sir.
My wife comes from a prominent family. A divorce in the circumstances would be something that could ruin my career. And any indiscretion with women belonging to our own circle, well, it would be dangerous. But a man gets lonely, Inspector. As, for instance, last Monday night.
The night before Doreen Hoskins was killed.
Yes, I'd been working rather late, you see. When I finished, I went out into the street, the Piccadilly. But I couldn't go home. I was too depressed, lonely. So I walked through Piccadilly Circus, feeling utterly alone in all that crowd of people. The lights, people laughing, only made it worse. It was in Coventry Street that I saw her.
Doreen Hoskins?
Yes, I bumped against her in the crowd. She smiled, and I smiled back. You could call it naive if you like, but it was like a sudden oasis of warmth in a world that was cold. I asked her to have dinner with me.
Go on, sir.
We went to a little place in Soho. She was an ordinary girl, but she was a human being. And you'll think I'm talking like a fool when I say it about that sort of girl, but I felt she was looking for something, too. That she needed warmth and friendship as much as I did. After dinner, we went back to the place where she lived. She made some coffee. It was a very pleasant interlude.
Yes. And did you see her again?
Yes, the next night. I deliberately walked the same way. I saw her near Leicester Square Station.
And what happened?
Nothing. I was about to go up to her and speak to her, but I didn't. I suppose I felt it shouldn't go any further.
Yes, I understand. What time was that?
About 9 o'clock. I never saw her again. I've come to tell you this in case somehow you might have found I'd been at her flat the night before. I wouldn't want that to become public knowledge.
Mr. Collins, Later medical evidence has now revealed that the girl's death could have taken place much earlier than at first believed.
Earlier?
Yes. In fact, round about 10 o'clock on that Tuesday night. And as it now stands, you could be the last person positively to have seen Doreen Hoskins alive, Mr. Collins. You're Jack Stokes, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Live at Woolwich?
I work at the dockyard.
That's where you met Doreen Hoskins, at Woolwich?
Yes, she was staying there. I met her at a dance.
When?
2-3 weeks. Yes, 3 weeks ago last Saturday.
Didn't take you long to get engaged to her, did it?
Oh, no, sir. That happened the second day I knew her.
Really? You're a fast worker, aren't you?
Well, it wasn't that, sir. It was Doreen. She...
She what?
Well, she was the kind of girl that... Well, she needed someone. Well, straight she did. Needed someone bad to look after her. Anyway, that's what I thought at the time.
But you certainly didn't know her very well when you became engaged to her, did you, Stokes?
No. That was the trouble.
And how did you find out she wasn't the little innocent you took her for?
I didn't say she wasn't.
No, I'm saying it. Well, how did you find out?
The way she started talking about men. Then when I come up to London with her, up west, that is.
That was Saturday, right?
Saturday, yes. Well, she didn't want me around. She wanted to get rid of me. I knew why. Didn't have to be detective at that.
And you quarreled?
Not right out, but...
And you broke off the engagement?
Well, sort of.
Sort of? What does that mean?
Look, I was in love with her, but... Well, if she was that kind of girl, what was I supposed to do about
it? Well, that's a good question. What did you do, Kevin?
No, I didn't. So help me.
When did you see her last?
Saturday night. I left her Saturday night, went back to Woolwich. I've been up west again. Not till they brought me here to talk to you.
If you're lying about that, Stokes, we'll find out. You know that, don't you? Well?
All right. I did come up again. Twice more.
When?
Wednesday and Thursday, late afternoon. I went to where she lived.
Well?
But I didn't see her neither time. That's the truth. I hung round because I wanted to see if she had other men. But I didn't see her. Honest, I didn't.
Coroner's inquest. I can hardly wait. Oh, it's going to be fun, Molly, old girl. Real fun.
Fun? Oh, Dickie, how can you talk about a thing like that? It's fun.
Well, won't it be? Standing up there in front of all that lot, telling my story, papers writing it up. Ah, smashing, I call it.
Dickie, a girl has been killed.
That's right. Foully murdered. And who did it, eh? You think they'll ever find out?
They might think it's you.
I reckon they're thinking it now.
Dickie.
Well, why not? Maybe I am the one. You think I'm the one, Mom?
I don't like you to talk like this. Make me nervous. You might think it's funny, but I don't.
Calm down, Ducks. I was only fooling. I'm not the only one they suspect. There's Gold Teeth, what took the keys. There's a little boyfriend. Maybe there's others too. But here's the thing to think about. One of us did it. And he's got to be clever enough to get clean away with it. He got out with the police, the coroner, the coroner's jury. The lot of them. Ah, yes, he'll be a clever man, a murderer. If he gets away with it, eh, Mom? A perfect murder. Hey, wouldn't it be something to know a man as clever as that? Hey, Mom?
Willful murder against some person unknown.
How do you feel about the verdict, Inspector?
Well, you've been a crime reporter long enough, you ought to know how I feel about it.
It was the only possible verdict on the evidence presented.
Yes, the only possible verdict.
And if you don't dig up any fresh evidence, that'll be the end of it. Another one to the files marked unsolved crime.
So that pleases you.
What shall I tell my readers? That police inquiries are still continuing.
Tell them what you like.
Pity they couldn't have handed someone over to you. But that wouldn't have helped much, would it? Not without evidence to make the charge stick. Tell me, how do you feel about the coroner's summing up? You know, telling the jury that they might disbelieve Norman's story about the Gold Tooth character, but that didn't make him a murderer. Suggesting that the chain of circumstantial evidence wasn't strong enough.
Fletcher, why don't you go and... Don't get lost.
Ah, here comes the man himself, Mr. Dick Norman. He doesn't look very happy. I wonder what he's worried about.
Well, there's our memory expert.
Hello. How are you?
Let's see. Do I know you?
Do you know me? Sure. Why?
Well, I'm not going to discuss my health with a perfect stranger.
Your health, huh?
Well, I suppose that reminds you of Medicare.
No.
Well, you mean you're not going to tell me how important Medicare is to my family? Or how vital it is for me to know just what it does?
No.
And you're not going to tell me to get that pamphlet called Dependent Medical Care Program?
No.
Well, that's a switch. Well, what are you going to say?
How's your wife?
Compared to what?
Sit down, Mr. Norman.
Yes, very interesting, all this. Seeing the inside of a big newspaper office.
My name's Fletcher. Bill Fletcher.
Yes, I know. I saw it at the inquest. That's why I picked this paper.
You're talking about the Doreen Hopkins inquest.
That's right. 2 years ago. But I remember you all right. Listen, Mr. Fletcher. How would your newspaper like the inside story of that murder?
As you say, it's 2 years ago now. There's not much public interest.
Oh, but there would be if the story was good enough, wouldn't it? Like, if it came from the murderer himself? And your paper was the one to spring it exclusive? Look, I study the newspapers very carefully, Mr. Fletcher. I know the sort of thing that makes them sell. A thing like this, it'll be a big trial. It'll be sensational. All this time after it happened. Now people will talk about nothing else. Right, Mr. Fletcher?
Yes, you're right, Mr. Norman.
Of course I'm right. Everyone will be talking about it. Whole of London, whole country. All right, Mr. Fletcher. If a man came to you with a confession like that, exclusive, would your paper finance his defense?
That's a matter for the managing editor. But I think I could say, yes, it would.
All right. And cop this, Mr. Fletcher. I did it. I killed that girl.
Now, Mr. Norman, you've heard the prosecution read out a confession signed by you. And you've agreed that this is, in fact, your confession, haven't you?
That's right, was what I told them.
Was this confession true?
No. It was a pack of lies.
Then you didn't kill that girl.
No.
And the evidence you gave at the inquest was the truth.
That's right.
Mr. Norman, I want you to think carefully before you answer this question. Why did you confess to the murder if you did not, in fact, commit it?
Because I wanted to clear my name.
Clear your name.
That's right. You see, a while ago I was offered a job. A good job, but I didn't get it. Because they heard I'd been mixed up in that business over the girl. So I had to clear my name. And this was the only way to do it. Get in a big court like this, in front of everyone, for all the world to see. You get the picture?
Oh, yes. I get the picture, Mr. Norman. Well, congratulations, Mr. Norman. You can walk out of here a free man.
Oh, sir. You did a good job for me. Real good.
There wasn't ever very much doubt what the verdict would be. You said your confession was all lies, and they couldn't prove otherwise. There was no new evidence against you. Only your own false confession. So the judge had to order an acquittal.
You think I didn't know that? Oh, yes. You did a good job, all right. But I reckon I did a better one.
What do you mean by that?
What say I was guilty? What say I really did knock her off, like I said in the confession? I don't have a thing to worry about, do I?
Did you kill her?
What's it to you, Mr. Lawyer? I've been tried and acquitted. Man can't be tried a second time for the same crime. I know that I saw it in the movies. So I can talk about it all I like now. And no one can touch me for it. Right, Mr. Lawyer?
Well,
there was a Marine named Pelagic, whose bank account really was tragic. Then, on advice from a friend, he bought bonds as an end to his problems, which vanished like magic. Get the message? Of course you do. You already know that United States savings bonds are the easy, safe, and profitable way to save. This is just a reminder.
Hey, what are you looking at, Molly?
There's someone coming up the pod.
So what?
I think... I didn't see him properly, but I think it's Inspector Lamb.
Oh. Oh, well, I'll handle it. Good evening, Inspector.
Good evening, Mr. Norman. May we come in?
I brought your sergeant with you, eh? Oh, yes, come in. Well, I didn't think I'd be seeing you again. You come to talk about old times. Oh, where? Sit down, sit down. Molly, get the gentleman a drink.
This isn't a social call. I have a warrant for your arrest, Mr. Norman.
Dickie!
Oh, no, you know better than that, Inspector. It was 4 years ago, and 2 years since I was acquitted. Do I have to explain the law to you?
Richard Norman, I have here a warrant for your arrest for the willful murder of Emily Bowker. And I warn you that anything you say may be taken down and used in evidence.
Emily Bowker? Who's Emily Bowker?
A woman of the same type as Doreen Hoskins. A few years older, but then you're a few years older too, aren't you, Mr. Norman?
Emily Bowker? Hey, you interest me. Hey, go on, tell me more.
Emily Bowker was murdered last night in her flat at Pimlico.
And I did it, eh? You want me to confess?
If you wish.
Why not? Yeah, sure, I did it, Inspector. Now I'll have it all over again, eh? The big court, the lot. And then I'll deny the confession like last time. Make fools of you all.
Dickie, stop it!
Got it. I can hardly wait.
Yes, Norman, we'll get started. Only it won't be quite like last time. All the murder was the same, exactly the same. Emily Bowker was killed in precisely the same manner as was Doreen Hoskins. Your trademark, as you might say.
Trademark, eh? You think you can prove it?
Yeah, I think we can. You see, this time you left something behind.
Left something? What do you mean?
Your wallet, Norman. Its contents contain complete identification.
No. No, I couldn't have. Not me. Only a fool of making that sort of mistake like that. No, not me.
But you are a fool, Norman. You got away with it once. I should have thought that there'd be enough for any man.
Now listen, you've got
to... But you had to try it again, didn't you? You just couldn't see past your ego, could you?
The best laid plans so often go astray. And when they do... It's usually because of that strange factor, that fatal flaw, we call the blind spot. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.